Father, we bless Thee today that we have the help of Your Word. As we come to the end of and the close of another year, and as we soon launch into a new year, O Lord, equip us and provide for us. We give Thee praises for providing in the past, and we look to Thee to guide us in the future. And so our trust is in Thee, and we pray that Your Word will be a lamp to our feet, and that it will direct our paths into the perfect will of God. We pray for the lost, that they may know the Savior, and as the clock ticks to the end of another year, may they be reminded that eternity is coming on. O Lord, minister to us, and bless us now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're coming back to Malachi, to the third chapter, and you're probably trying to guess which text is it going to be. Well, it's not "I am the Lord, I change not," because we looked at that on Wednesday at our prayer meeting, and it's not about bringing the tithes into the storehouse, because I believe people in this congregation are doing that, and that's not our text. But we're going to move to verse 14, and it is this objection that it is vain to serve the Lord. Verse 14, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve the Lord." Now, I want you to notice how much that irked the God of heaven. "Your words have been stout against me," verse 13. "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" And here's the thing that God is disturbed about. "Ye have said, it is vain to serve the Lord." Those who come to church faithfully every week, you may have attended three times a week. That means you've come about 156 times throughout the year. Add to that the driving time. Add to that the fellowship time. Add to that all the listening and the hearing of sermons and entering into the life of the Lord's church. That is a lot of service for the Lord. And here we come to the end of the year, and you might be asking, but what difference has it made? Because my neighbors, well, they don't go to church at all. There's people who hardly ever go to church, and they're no different. They survive. It seems that God is good to them and provides all of their needs. Well, it's time for a little bit of accounting. It's time to draw up the profit and loss for the year that has gone by. And the final totals that we're looking for is, what difference has it made when we have sought to faithfully serve the Lord in the year that has gone by? What profit is there that we have served the Lord? Now notice two ways in which God indicates our service unto Him. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance? That's verse 14 right here in Malachi 3. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully? Meaning that we have avoided pride, we have not walked in the flesh, we have sought to walk godly. And so we are called to fear the Lord. You'll see that in verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord." And in verse 16, "they talked and conversed about the Lord one to another." So fellowship, the fear of the Lord, keeping His ordinances, walking humbly, all of that is serving the Lord. But what difference does it make? That's the objection that comes up. And if that is your thinking, that is offensive to God's holy nature. it is never vain to serve the Lord. And of course, that's the argument of the carnal man, the worldly man. He says, oh, there's no profit in that. I might go and perfect my golf game, and I might through the year have taken courses and advanced my education and knowledge and expertise and all manner of things. And we could say that through the year, I've gotten better at it. But can the Christian say at the end of the year that we are better off? Well, the Christian, well, our problem is that we're dealing with things that we can't see. You can't just stack it all up and say, well, here's the evidence of what I have gained and what I have accomplished, because we are building for eternity, and we're dealing with the unseen things, and we're waiting for those rewards that are yet to come. And so what I want us to do is to look at these verses and to answer the question, what difference has it made that we have sought to be faithful and serve the Lord in the year gone by? Well, notice that the Lord records. He is the ledger keeper. If you look at verse 16, it says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, his ear was open, and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. And so while we do not note the things that have been gained, and we may ask, is it not vain to serve God? The Lord is keeping record, and these things are written down. Now, the Lord writes down the names of his saints. Would you turn in your Bible to Philippians 4 and verse 3? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my laborers, fellow laborers. And you'll see that their names are mentioned. And then it goes on to say, whose names are in the book of life. God has a book. It is called the book of life. If your name is in it, you have eternal life. And through the year that has gone by, we can take hope that there have been names that have been added to and written in the book of life. It may be the name of a little boy or a little girl. It may be the name of a person who has come and heard the gospel, and their name has been added to the book of life. And if there is even one name added to that book, then all of our service and all of our ministry has not been in vain, and God keeps the book. Also, you'll notice in verse 16 of Malachi that the Lord writes down the speeches of his people. We're told here, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. So fellowship times among God's people are never in vain. That word that you have spoken to exhort and encourage is not in vain. I am conscious that the ministry from this pulpit is not in vain, if it has been godly, if it has been biblical, if it has been to the hearts of God's people to build them up in the faith, if it has been a word of warning to the wicked and the sinner that they might flee from the wrath to come. These things are recorded, and they are stored up by God. He takes note of our speeches. And even in 1,000 years from now, when everything else is burned up, now, that assumes the Lord comes within 1,000 years, but when everything else isn't forgotten, godly words, Christian fellowship, gospel ministry will still be in God's book, and they will be remembered. We're also told that the Lord writes down the tears of his people, that he has a bottle in which he stores them up. Thomas Watson said, "Tears drop down to earth, but they reach up to heaven." And through this year, you may have had your sorrows, your bitter disappointments, and your tears, but they, even they, are stored, and if they be for Christ's sake and for his cause, they are not loss, especially those that weep for the sins of our times, for the sins of our families and even our own sins. Those tears are remembered and they are kept. Now moving on to a positive note in verse 16, you'll notice that it says there, "and thought upon his name." Look at that, at the end of verse 16, this book of remembrance written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now, only God could record thoughts. I could never record people's thoughts. I could hardly even remember to record my own thoughts. But here we're told in the scriptures, the Bible, that the Lord, in his book of remembrance, stores up the very devotional thoughts that we have toward his name. And just as God sees and records your tears, records your speech, records your works, he records our thoughts. These may be upon our bed at night. These may be in the solitary hour when we are just pondering the name and the nature of God. These thoughts might come into your minds after you've read your Bible. You said, "Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful thing that God has given us in his word." These thoughts might be silent prayers, those mumblings of the heart that you have ruminated in God's ear, and he listens to that very thought. Attending the house of God and filling your heart and mind with the knowledge of the Savior. All of these things are recorded and stored up. The very hymns that we sing are recorded. It's a good thing that we sing biblically sound hymns. It's a good thing that our songs are not the garbage of the world, but are holy words written to exalt and to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus. Then there are those communion feasts that we attend. When we take that cup and bread in hand, the thoughts, the thankfulness, the grace in our hearts, the Lord takes note and he remembers, because he writes them in his book. In Psalm 38, verse 9, we read that the Lord takes note of the desires of his people. Let's turn that one up. Psalm 38 and verse 9. Now, here is the tension and the struggle of every Christian. The tension between the will to do and the power to do. And I'm sure there were things in the year that have gone by you desired to do for God, but you never accomplished them. They never came to fruition. Maybe you even made a New Year's resolution that in the year gone by you would accomplish this for God, but it never happened. And here in Psalm 38:9, "Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee." Those laments, "Lord, I'm not what I should be. I haven't served as I ought. I haven't conquered that temptation as I ought. I'm not the Christian I ought to be. But Lord, I desire to be holy. I desire to be changed into the image of the Lord Jesus. And that desire is the spiritual appetite of breathing after God. And it is the will to do, even though we're hindered in the doing. These desires are like a little boy's arrows. And he may try to shoot that arrow right at the target, but he's a novice. He doesn't hit the target at all. But with all his zeal and all his struggling and all his strength, he shoots that arrow every time toward the target, yet misses. And there are times in our Christian service that's what it's like. We're aiming for the goal, but we miss it. We don't always hit the target. The desire, the delight, the yearning to do is there, but we don't hit the target. What is God looking for? Well, he's looking for our availability, not just our capability. The Lord knows our weaknesses and our failures. The Lord knows our deficiencies and our things that we have not accomplished. But he takes the desire and he writes them in his book. What an encouragement that is to my heart. When I think of the sermons that I could have preached so much better, when I think of opportunities that I lost, when I think of those times when I could have spoken for Christ and didn't, or didn't say enough, my desire was there. But to do, I failed. And yet the Lord writes the desire in his book, and they are stored up. Now, this is not an excuse to those who made excuses for never worshiping God. You cannot turn this into an excuse and say, well, the Lord knows my heart. I didn't go to church on Sunday, but I thought about church. You can't turn that into an excuse. Nevertheless, there are those who would be here but cannot. I think of our seniors. I think of those who cannot find a biblical church to attend. Some may join us by webcast. Some may do other things to substitute the worship of the Lord. And their desire is right, but they cannot do. Even the desire is stored up. I move on now to the prayers of God's people. They too are remembered. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. I want you to, well, we're in the minor prophets, so it's not far away to Jonah here. Jonah 2, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. That's our prayers are noted, and they are written down. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Now we know Jonah, where he was, drowning underwater, perishing there in all kinds of trouble. And when he was in trouble, he prayed to the Lord. And I'm sure you've done that throughout the year that has gone by. There were those times that you were at the end of your own strength, and you cried to the Lord, and you remembered him. Well, those prayers are also marked on. They came unto the Lord. They did not just bounce off the ceiling. They didn't just bounce off the ozone layer of creation. They went right into God's holy temple. And those prayers will be remembered. Prayers are indelible with God. We forget them. And I've sometimes recommended it's a good thing when you come to prayer meeting to bring a notebook and to write down the things that you pray for. Write down the things that the church is praying for and you personally are asking God for, because in a month time, God may answer that prayer and you may even forget to thank Him for the answer. How quickly we forget. But those prayers are remembered by the Lord. It was said of Zacharias, and he was past thinking that his prayer for a child would ever be answered, but God's reply was, "Thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard." And then you have, other prayers and cries that have been lifted up to God, and in due time were remembered. And so we're going to pass tonight at midnight into a new year, but the prayers of the present year are stored and will be remembered. And God in His wisdom and grace will answer according to His will in His time. Let us never forget the way in which the Lord is able to answer. Next thing that God remembers is that God writes down the alms or the giving of God's people. Works of mercy done out of love to God, just as Mary brought the box of ointment to anoint the Lord. Whatever is done, whatever is given, whatever is done out of love for Christ and in His name shall be rewarded. They will never be forgotten. Turn over to Acts 10 and verse 4. The book of Acts, chapter 10, and the verse 4, and we read here about prayers that were bottled up and answered. Acts 10, verse 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, that is Cornelius, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Now, we don't know the specifics of the prayers. Cornelius was a Gentile. He was not even in the Jewish system at all. He was an outsider, became a Christian at some point here. But his prayers and his good deeds, his alms, were remembered by the Lord. They came up before God for a memorial. They were not forgotten. And so you can never outgive God. Your giving will never be lost. And your prayers will never be forgotten. And so take note of this at the close of this year, that while worldly men think they have gotten the gain of money-making, pleasure-seeking, they are looking after temporal rewards and gain, that you as a Christian have been storing up treasure in heaven. Your time, your worship, your prayers, your giving, your sacrifices, they will come up for a memorial before God, and they shall be remembered. Jesus talked about storing up treasure in heaven, and that's what Christians are doing in their worship and in their service for God. Now, God has a book of remembrance. Now, this is after a manner of human speaking. We need a book to record things. And in the Bible, you have that anthropomorphic, that speaking after the manner of men, that God has a book. I use in my laptop and have it on my phone as well, a program called Evernote. And I've been using it about 5 years, and I've got a chock filled with notes and details and research and all kinds of stuff in Evernote. And I can go back and search for things and dates and events and figures and Bible texts and so on, And it's a great tool for me to remember stuff. And as my memory fails, often there are times I resort to Evernote to get that piece of information that I'm thinking about but can't properly recollect. Well, God has no problem recollecting. He has infinite resources and wisdom. And he's speaking here after the manner of men, that he writes things in his book. The truth is that he never forgets. And every detail will be remembered. Now, there's another point. God has a book of remembrance for the sufferings of his people. Another text on this is Exodus chapter 6, verse 5. And of course, we have the children of Israel in Egypt as slaves. They're not yet liberated. And we're told in Exodus 6 and verse 5, "And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." Now, the covenant was made with Abraham. But when God heard the groanings, the cries and the sighs of his own people in Egypt, God heard them, God remembered them, and God remembered his covenant. Now, you might think today it's a very difficult thing to be a Christian. And yes, it may be getting more difficult. And you might be thinking, I'm losing out because I'm a Christian. And I am suffering in various ways because I'm seeking to live the Christian life. Well, the Lord remembers the sufferings of God's people. And it doesn't only apply to someone in a prison cell. It doesn't only apply to martyrs. It applies to Christians who put up with irksome, difficult situations and seeking to live for Christ every day. The Lord remembers the sufferings of his people. And the Lord remembers what the wicked do to his people. Another text is 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 2. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. You remember how the Amalekites attacked the host of Israel from the rear. And they were attacking the weak and the infirmed because they weren't able to travel as quickly in the desert. And the Amalekites took advantage of the weakness of God's people. And we are told here in 1 Samuel 15, in the days of Samuel, which is quite a number of years later, I remember what Amalek did. And so the Lord remembers the tough things, the hostilities, the opposition that Christians face, the Lord remembers them. And whatever you may have suffered for the Lord in the year that has gone by, whatever losses and crosses that you have endured, the Lord remembers. The Lord takes note. And therefore, it is no vain thing to serve the Lord. I'm answering the objection. The scripture here in Malachi 3 answers the objection. It is vain to serve the Lord. That is a lie. Joshua's statement is right. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord because it pays. It always pays to serve God, even in the midst of the crosses and the troubles of this life. Now, is that your answer? Do you answer this as Malachi, the prophet of God, answers it right here? The year 2017 is almost closed. And the book must move on to a new column. 2018 is going to begin at midnight tonight. Have you anything to show for the year that has gone by? What do Christians show? Well, they don't show their fat bank account. They don't show the nice shiny car that they're now driving. No, they show their crosses. They show their scars. They show their sufferings for Christ. Have you been giving to the Lord's work? Christians can be thankful that that is not in vain. Have you been active in the Lord's work? Have you gone the second mile when others choose to sit at home? Whatever they do, you say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be amongst God's people. I'm going to be promoting His kingdom. All of that is not in vain. Then rejoice, because your reward is great. This is all treasure filling the very vaults of heaven. Now, the sermon's over, but for your study, when you move into chapter 4, verse 2, you'll see the blessings that come. You'll see how in that Malachi 4, verse 2, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Total destruction to the wicked. Does it pay to live for sin? Never. But, verse 2 says, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as the calves in the stall, and ye shall break down the wicked. You can study chapter 4 and add it on as the rewards for serving the Lord. And you can reap them in the new year. You can reap the gain, the rewards for service in the year that has gone by. And so all that you've done for Christ in the year gone by can now come to fruition when the heavens are opened, when the wicked are destroyed, and when the righteous shall flourish. And so again, it answers the question, is it vain to serve the Lord? Never! 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 Is it vain to serve the Lord? But those that serve the flesh will reap what they sow. And we see how they will be burned up and even destroyed. May the Lord write this on your heart today. It's already written in His book, but may we never forget. You write it in your book. If you have Evernote, put in a little note for today. December 31st, 2017. It's never in vain to serve the Lord. And don't forget it. And you will be encouraged to serve Him, I pray, in the year to come. Let's close our service today with a final hymn. And it is number 561, Living for Jesus. 561, Living for Jesus. A life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. Father in heaven, wilt thou spread thy wings around? Let thy blessing be upon thy people. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is ever wasted in the service of Christ. We thank thee that your thoughts, your remembrance is all we require. The Lord knows. The Lord sees. The Lord remembers. Bless your people today. Give us great grace. And Lord, let us end this year with a note of much praise. May thy blessing truly rest upon us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed now and ever. Amen. Amen.